Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. All right, let's pray, hey? Lord Jesus, as we come around your word, open our ears to hear what you're saying to us individually as a church. Thank you that you are an alive God, a God who speaks, a God who loves. And I thank you today for a word that sets us free, gives us courage, and provides a great platform for our next. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. One of the most profound verses in the scripture, when Jesus is walking and he says to some fishermen, he says, "Come, follow me." That's it. And people started following him. But when you unpack that verse, it's so simple. Come follow me, and I will make you. Isn't that beautiful? You think about that. Come follow me, says Jesus, and I will make you. You don't have to be anything before you follow Jesus. He will make you. He will equip you. He will give you what you need just as we follow. I'm going to unpack that verse in the scripture, looking at the life of Esther. This is our last message on the whole series of courage, of standing tall, because our world needs courageous people. We need to be people of grit and grunt and perseverance and those who are willing to stand up and be counted. And so many heroes in our faith are those people. We looked at Daniel last week. What a great message of how to live in a different space. We've looked at Moses. We've looked at the Apostle Paul. Today we're looking at Esther, who is a legendary hero in the Bible. But all of these people stood up. They stood tall. They didn't let society dictate to them. But in the middle of where they were, they stood for something. And that's how we see Jesus unwrap that, "Come, follow me." Now, I want to wrap that up with this idea of the call of God. So many people wrestle with the call of God in their lives. What am I called to do? What's my job? What's my purpose? And so often we confuse calling with context. We think we've got to be in the right context in order to achieve our calling. Well, let's look at Esther and see how she deals with that problem of context. You know that God has placed inside of us individually a call, a purpose. Not just to do, but to be. And as we unwrap that, you'll find life flows. Dostoevsky says this. He says, it's not just to live, but to live for something definite. How many people around us are just living, just going through life, just, but what if we lived for something definite? Come follow me and I will make you. George Whitfield, the great evangelist, says, "I'm never better than when I'm on the full stretch for God." There's that sense of as we stretch and as we go, God is with us and doing all kinds of things. So let's dive into Esther and we see how this unravels. Come with me to 480 BC. I'm in a city called Susa, which is the capital of Persia. If you know your history, your empires, you'll know that in 586 BC, a bit before that, Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar came and captured the city of Jerusalem and he carted off so many people, most of the people across the desert into Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. Most people went there. They were there for 70 years. But in the middle of that, guess what? There's always a bigger fish. The Babylonian Empire was taken over by the Persian Empire. And this is the context of the story of Esther. So some of those people that were in Babylon were kind of taken further afield throughout into Persia or modern-day Iran. And if you look it up, you can still see the city of Susa or Shush, and it's actually where they think that Joseph was buried in this place. Who knows? So in this place, we've got a young girl called Esther. She's an orphan. Her parents have died, and she's been looked after by her uncle Mordecai, who raises her up. But they're Jews in a Persian context. Again, she's outside of her zone. She's in a foreign place, and so she's doing her best to do it. But at the same time, this dramatic event takes place. The king is so excited about his own glory that he throws a feast. This is the king of Persia. He goes, "I'm so great. We're going to have a party." And this party actually goes for half a year. Half a year party. There's wine everywhere. It's a great celebration. In the middle of that, he says, "I want my wife to come and join me." He says, "Wife, come over here. Wife." Queen Vashti refuses to come. We're not really sure why, but she says, "Nope, I'm not going to join in." Furious. The king is furious. He says, "Queen, why? How dare you?" And so he consults his consort. He says, "No, she should be banished. Banish your wife." And so the stage is set. We need a new wife for the king of Persia. Who's that going to be? And so they recruit. They go throughout all the land looking for all the eligible young ladies. And we're not told why in the scriptures. But somehow Esther, the Jewess, is included in this. Somehow she's drafted. It does say that she's beautiful. But somehow she's drafted into the courts, perhaps the harem of the king, so that they see who is the best of these to become the queen. Now, how would you feel, young Jew? Let's pick up the story there. But as we look at her life, she found the courage to follow the call of God in her life. In a place that wasn't her own, in a place that was difficult. And as she was there, she found something great. The first thing that I see in Esther is that she embraced her background. She wasn't afraid to be who she really was. If you're going to embrace the call of God in your life, you need to start with who you are. Start with your background. Start with where you're from, your family of origin. Look at this. In Esther 2, verse 5, here's a bit of context. "Now there was a Jew in Susa, the citadel, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjaminite." There's his credentials. "Who had been carried away from Jerusalem along with the captives, carried away by Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, carried away. He was bringing up Hadassah," that's Esther, "the daughter of his uncle, for she had neither father or mother. The young woman had a beautiful figure and was lovely to look at. And when her father and mother died, Mordecai took her as his own daughter." Where are you now? Esther found herself in Susa. She found herself in the king's court. What about you? How come you're here? Have you ever asked that question? Why am I sitting here in Bathurst 2022? Like, how did I get to be here? Why aren't I in South Africa or anywhere? Why wasn't I born in 1847? Do you ever ask that question? I do. There's a brilliant scripture that tells us why. It's in Acts 17:26. It says, "He made from one man," that's Adam, "every nation of mankind to live all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods of time and the boundaries of their dwelling place." Huh. It says in Acts that God has predetermined by his sovereignty where you're going to live and when you're going to live. It's no accident that you're here. It's no accident that you're doing what you're doing, the job that you have, the family that you have, the place that you're living. Isn't it comforting to know that it's where you're supposed to be. Yet so many of us feel like this is not my home. I should be doing something else. I can't fulfill the call of God in my life here now with this context. So I need to change my context. Ever felt that? So often we wrestle with that question, where should I be? But actually, God's put us here and now. And there are moments when he says, hey, move, time to go. And we sense that, we feel that. And sometimes it's by choice, sometimes it's by force. I'm not sure that Esther really put her hand up to do this. Maybe she did. But sometimes you still find yourself in a place of being in an unwanted space, but still God has his hand on you to fulfill the call of God in his life. So for you, you are God-endorsed in a God-endorsed place. And if you aren't, you'll feel a stirring and a kind of, I need to move somewhere or do something. But most of us, Paul says to the Corinthian church, he says, when you come to Christ, just stay as you are. Just stay as you are, 1 Corinthians 7. God can use you right here, right now. Did you know that? God can use you in your place of residence. He can use you in your workplace, your church life. He's not determined. His will is not determined by your place and your context. That's the first thing. Esther embraces who she is. She's a Jew, and she's happy with that. But the next thing of accepting your background and your origin is to accept your surrounds. It's to come to terms with where you are now, not just who you are and where you've come from. Let's look at how Esther deals with this. In Esther 2, verse 8, after this great party that the king has, the king's order and his edict were proclaimed, and when many young women were gathered in Susa, the citadel, in the custody of Haggai, Esther also was taken into the king's palace and put in custody of Haggai. He's in charge of the ladies. And the young woman pleased him and won his favor. And he quickly provided her with cosmetics and her portion of food and with 7 chosen young women from the king's palace and advanced her and her young woman to the best place in the harem. Now, isn't it odd? Don't you feel like, oh, harem? Like, this is, who would want to be there, really? But she's there. She's got no choice. So she makes the best of it. She's in a context not of her choosing, but she still is able to embrace her surrounds. And you and I, we can accept our surrounds. That God can use anything. And you've got to recognize both your call and your moment to shine. In Proverbs 16:9, it says that the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Comforting verse. It means that I think I should do this and go here. Sometimes we find God directing us somewhere else. Sorry, I'm moving around on the cameras. And do you ever find that? You start out going somewhere and then you end up this way because the Lord is directing his steps. It's so comforting to know that. You have been created and placed in this time, even if you think, why am I here? What's my purpose? What's going on? Part of the call of God in our life is just to live in our context and to do it well. That's a massive part of our call. You married? Do it well. You got kids? Do it well. You got family? Do it well. Are you working somewhere? Do it well. Do everything for the glory of God in the place that you are now, and you'll find that God directs your steps. 90% of the call of God in our life is right here, right now. It's not over there or in that place. It's the beautiful idea of vocation. It's an old word. We think it means job. It doesn't. It means call. What am I called to do? It's what you do with this call that brings fruit. You see, if I accept the place that I'm in, and the person that God's made me, then the things that I have to do are not tasks to do, but a call to fulfill. Can you see the difference? So the things that I have to do every day, you know, I have to change a nappy. If I have to wash up dishes, if I have to mow a lawn, if I have to do something, it's not just jobs to do to tick off a list. It's a calling to fulfill. I tell you, if you're dealing with mundane right now, that's how it works. Every time you have to do something, you think, oh, I've done that so many times. You're fulfilling the call of God in your life. Every time you turn up to work, it's like, oh, really? Is this the call of God in my life? Yeah, the world needs accountants. The world needs teachers. We need politicians. We need wise people in smart places. We need Christians in all kinds of vocations. And turning up to work and loving your family and being a good neighbor, they are part of the call of God in our life. They're not just jobs to tick off. It is a fulfilling call. Now, that was Esther. Somehow, she found in that context the courage to do that well. See? She found favor in the eyes because she did it well and because God's hand was on her. So establishing and nurturing our call is really important. It's like positioning ourselves. I love cricket and I love watching the fielders. They're always active. Who loves cricket? Yeah, like everybody. I love it. But don't you love, I just love watching the slips fielders. I mean, when they're just, or the wicketkeeper. It's like they're anticipating which way that ball is coming. They're ready, they're catching, they're on their kind of balls of their feet, I guess. They're ready. That's the position that you and I need to be in our normal context. Hey, I'm ready for whatever God throws my way. I'm ready. I'm going to move this way or that. That's what happened to Esther. Now, you probably know the story. Esther ends up being crowned the queen. Incredible. Out of all of the fine young ladies across Persia, Esther gets to be the queen. The queen of Persia, the big empire, is a Jew. She's catching. She's ready. Why am I here, Lord? What have you got me to do? And there's a plot. Her uncle discovers this plot to annihilate all of the Jews throughout Persia because of the envy of a man called Haman, who's sort of second in charge. He sets up this elaborate plot and sends out letters all throughout the kingdom saying, on this certain date, we're going to execute. You have permission to kill all the Jews. Sounds familiar. So this date is set up. And Esther comes to... This is not only me, but it's all my people. Maybe, her uncle says there, maybe I was born for such a time as this. Maybe I was positioned here for such a time as this. Maybe this is what's going to make sense of all these years being the queen. And so when she hears about this, she activates her call, you see? She's nurtured her call. Then she goes, right, now is my moment. Now I can see why I'm in this office, why I'm in this family. Now I get it. And she says, first thing she says in Esther 4:16, she says, go to her uncle. Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. And my young women will fast also. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. And Mordecai went away and did everything that Esther had ordered him. You see, she has an opportunity to go and talk to the king and say, king, what you're going to do is going to destroy all my people. But there's a problem. It's not like you can just turn up, even though it's a husband. She can't just walk up and approach the king. Usually they kill them, even the wives. Unless the king holds out his golden scepter. Unless the king says, come. It's a huge risk. So what does she do? She gets everybody praying and fasting. She says, go, pray, fast. Get mobilized people. And that's the first thing we see Esther do to activate her call. It's in fasting. It's in petitioning before God. It's getting favor. It's getting courage before God. There is such power in communal prayer for breakthrough. Such power. It's communal prayer. She doesn't just pray herself. She goes, right, let's get the whole country praying. That's why we love prayer meetings. I mean, you've been watching Ukraine, I'm sure. It's like, man, I'm powerless. But prayer, I can do something. I can actually do something. I can take action. Esther takes action. What part of your world needs prayer to activate something inside of you to take a risk? And then she steps out. She sees her position. She understands why she's there. She's got everybody praying. And then now is her moment to activate the call of God in her life. On the third day, this is Esther 5, verse 1. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the king's palace in front of the king's quarters. Can you imagine how she's feeling? Well, this could be her last day. The king could just ignore her request, have her killed straight away. She's there. She's standing before the king's quarters while the king was sitting on his royal throne inside the royal throne palace. And when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, she won favor in his sight. It could have gone either way. But she won favor. God was with her. And he held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. And Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. And the king said to her, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? It shall be given you even to half my kingdom." Like, she could have said, "Yeah, give me half of it and I'll go." And the king would say, "Yeah." Such favor, such a moment, because she knew who she was. She knew what she was called to do, and she knew the power of prayer and fasting was behind her. She was able to boldly take a risk. It's an amazing, amazing story. It's that moment that makes sense of your context. It's that moment when that rush comes together. I know what I've got to do here. I know, and I've got to stand up against something or stand for something or push in somewhere. Has it happened to you at work? Has it happened to you in your family life? Has it happened to you in a circle of friends who are going this way and you have to say, hang on, no. Can you think of a time when you've fulfilled a call of God in your life to bring peace or justice or goodness or righteousness or to stand for somebody? It comes at a cost, doesn't it? It's like, will they ever talk to me again? Will I lose my job? Will I cause a fracture in my family? I'm going to do it because I was born for such a time as this. See, that's the power of call. The rest of the story is amazing. I need to get the musos to come up behind me. The rest of the story is incredible because Esther goes on and defeats Haman, who was the guy who's wanting to kill all the Jews. They quickly rush out a message to the whole of Susa, the whole of Persia, and they get a message, and actually they overcome and overturn that whole ruling. And the Jews are saved. Haman, the aggressor, is killed on his own hang thing. What do they call those things? Guillotine? No, that's a different one. Yeah. Gallows, thank you. Which is something like 50 meters tall. It's incredible. It's silly. He's killed. And Mordecai, the guy who's been faithful to the Jew, is actually elevated to the position of second in charge of all the kings. And Esther remains queen and rules. My goodness. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the turnaround right there? From being the enemy and the oppressed to boom. Now the kingdom of God has brought favor on these people. It came because a young girl didn't run away from the call of God in her life. Even though she would have questioned it, even though it would have been difficult for her, she accepted the call of God in her life. And she waited for the moment that was her to activate that decision. It's a powerful story. It's in the Bible to give us courage. So often, the call of God is a contradiction to your context. So often you look around and we see, what am I here for? What am I doing? Why have I feel stuck in this space? You're here on purpose. Your job is on purpose. Your family is on purpose. The people you live with is on purpose. Your city, the place of your surroundings, your neighborhood, the neighbors that drive you crazy, you're there on purpose. If you're faithful and godly in that space and just look for that moment, that Esther moment where I was born for this time, and suddenly the call of God opens up before you and you walk through it and you take a risk and you step out in confidence and you see miracles open up, that's why you're here. It's worth the wait. It's worth being patient. It's worth holding on for. You need courage to follow the call of God, even in the contradiction of your context. You need courage to hang in there. Do you believe more in the God who's calling you than the call? It's actually about He who says, come follow me and I'll make you. Come follow me. As we follow Him, He makes us. As we set our course on Jesus, He changes us, He shapes us, He molds us, and He helps us to be used in our context. What an amazing thing. What is it that God is calling you to? Your mix of background and opportunity. It's who you are and what you can do. Let's just pray. Let's ask Jesus to come into this space and speak. I want you to position yourself so that you can hear from God. Because I really believe that there's people here this morning who are wrestling with the call of God on their life. What am I here for? What's my purpose? Why am I in this space? I believe the Lord wants to say, just like with Esther, you're here for such a time as this. You're here for those moments when you activate that call. You may not know it for years, decades, but He's asking you to be faithful and faith-filled. He's asking you not to give in or give up, but to hold your line. And you will have an opportunity. You will have your moment and moments of standing up for the oppressed, of speaking, of moving out. You will have those moments that crystallize your context. And I just want to ask, Holy Spirit, I want to ask that you give courage to people who are questioning things right now. Give them courage right now in Jesus' name. Give them courage to stick it where they're at. Give them courage to follow the call of God. And give them ears to hear when those moments arrive. And give them courage to face a risk and to step out. Jesus. And I do want to ask you if you know Christ. Without following Jesus, you can't be made. He says, follow me and I'll make you. Follow me and I'll shape you. Follow me and I'll change you. Follow me and I'll relieve you from sin and guilt and shame. Follow me and I'll open up a bright future for you. Follow me, He says. He says to all of us, even here today, He says, follow me, follow me, follow me. It might be the first time you've ever prayed that prayer. You say, Jesus, I want to respond to your call to follow. Or you might want to come back to Him and say, back to your original call. I'm sorry, Jesus, but I've left that path of following, but now I'm going to follow you. Wherever that goes, whatever that looks like, it's a blank check of your life. Anyone would like to respond to that? You want to follow Jesus for the first time? Or coming back to him, just raise your hand. I want to pray for you right this morning. Jumping in online, I want to pray for you as well. Get in touch with us. You want to pray. This is the greatest adventure. Jesus, I pray each person who wants to come and follow you again, I pray you give them courage, give them perseverance, give them direction and joy. I thank you for the message of Esther, this courageous young lady who paved the way and showed us how to live in a call of God. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing this last little tag of this song because it talks about us stepping out. God splits seas. God opened things for us. And you remind us in that context that we're a child of God. And back to you guys. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.